In this episode, we're going to be discussing a recent performance that Moano and I did at Mistress Jane's Divine Darkness event. The podcast is split into three parts, weirdly enough. The first part is the lead-up, the day of the event, where Moano and I are discussing what we hope is going to happen and how we think it's going to go. The second part we recorded a few days after the event to discuss how it actually went. And during that recording, unfortunately, my memory card failed, and so we lost half of the episode. So the third part of this podcast is me recapping on the bits that we missed to cover the rest of our thoughts on how the event went. And then right at the end of this podcast, we're going to be talking about the theme, which was sensual dominance. We're going to be discussing a few tips that you can try out with your partner to bring your sensual side into your power play. I really hope you enjoy it. If you do, please give us a follow on Spotify to be alerted when new episodes come out. It really helps this podcast grow. It keeps us really interested in recording new episodes, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So without further ado, enjoy the episode. This podcast contains frank discussions about sex, kink, and BDSM. If you're a consenting adult who wants to learn more about these topics, then stay tuned.
You're listening to Chief from kinkyevents.co.uk, helping you create the dom-sub dynamic you've always fantasized about.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the kinkiest of them all? Who do you think is kinkier, me or you?
I think I am.
Do you think?
Yeah.
You might be.
Yeah, I think I read a lot of literatica.
You do. I think you got into kink younger than I did.
And my idea of kink has expanded to include a lot of things. Yeah. But they are just a fantasy. They're not things that I actually want to have in real life. So then, does that... You're more kink in practice, and I'm more kink in theory.
You're mentally kinky.
I'm mentally kinky, and you're practically kinky.
Something like that. Yeah. All right. So today's topic, it's bonfire night. It's the 5th of November.
Remember.
And we are about to go to a party run by MJ, Mistress Jane, in London. And we've been invited to do a little performance of sensual dominance.
A dominant demonstration.
Yeah. The event is called House of Pain, but we're doing a sensual dominance part. We've got a 45-minute slot. We have never done any No, it's not going to be 45 minutes. But we've never done it. We've obviously done stuff in public in parties, but we've not done a performance in front of an audience.
Not for the intent of... performing.
Yeah, you know. People sitting watching us.
Yeah, deliberately.
Yeah, we've had people watch us before, but sort of
that's sex. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. And so we've been thinking, I've been quite nervous about it for the last 2 weeks because a lot of the kink we do is quite sexual and we don't want the performance to be X-rated.
So we don't want us to just be up at the front having sex. Like, that's not...
Yeah, and also I probably won't be able to get hard. Yeah. Like, in front of people... performing. So and I don't know how kinky the people in the audience are, so we don't want to go too extreme, but it's meant that we've dialed it back to the kind of foreplay,
but we also don't want to go too boring either, so it's hard to find that balance. Like, it's like, okay, well, what
can... And that's what I've been nervous about, like, how do we where's that balance, and how do we make it not just a performance but educational as well? And then I was thinking I think I went too into the performance and the structure, and we spent ages choosing the music, and now we've kind of dialed it back to just sort of playing. But we have got a plan.
We have an idea. You have a plan. I'm just playing it by ear, but
you have to do what you're told.
Yeah, exactly.
that's why I'm feeling the pressure.
I know you're feeling the pressure, but I also think, like, I think if we just focus in on each other and just, like, really, like, elevate your sensual dominance and my submission, if we just really play into those roles and, like, listen to each other's bodies and each other's cues, I think it'll be okay. I'm also just trying to fake it till I make it. Sort like, I'm trying to not put any sort of expectations on top of this.
Not thinking about it.
Yeah, because I don't want to get myself anxious. So right now, like, I've thought about it very little because I just want to... rock up, do the thing, and have it be done. And then,
well, yeah, I mean, you can sort of, because you can be have it done to you.
Well, that's why I'm not trying to do anything. I'm trying to not put any pressure onto myself or onto you. I know you're feeling stressed about it, but I think we're not going to fail.
No, it'll be good.
And people will see something and it'll be sexy. It'll be sexy.
Hopefully.
I think so.
Hopefully. I'm thinking when you see burlesque, it's sexy, but that's not us. Like, we're not performers. So, it's going to be strange because a lot of the stuff we do is quite subtle and it may not come across like people may not quite understand what we're doing, but I think it should.
Yeah. I think if you just really focus in on like my body and like touching and stroking and caressing and pulling the hair, rough grabbing, throwing me around a little bit, that's going to build to be something
like
really...
Stroking's going to be boring. Like if I was in the audience watching someone get a massage, I'd be like, this is so dull.
But you're not just doing a massage. You're touching my skin and then you're raking your nails.
Yeah. Will that be visible to the audience? That's the thing.
I think it will.
I think it will.
And so, it's going to crescendo, isn't it? Too. Maybe. It's going to start off, you know, like we kind of have an idea of different acts, shall you say.
Yeah, we've got four songs, so I know roughly how it's going to start, middle, end.
I think it's going to go longer than those four songs.
Yeah, which will be fine. So we're going to start with massage, a little bit of massage, head massage, then a bit of collaring you, nipple clamps, a bit of nipple play. Then inspection, a bit of positions and commands, and then onto the spanking bench, spanking, and then aftercare.
Spanking, flogging.
Yeah, I include impact play in general. Like all that sort of
fun stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hair pulling.
20 minutes. 15, 20
Lots
minutes. That's
pulling.
What we're going for.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And hopefully, so the second part of this, we'll come back and we'll record how it went.
Yeah.
Because it's literally in. What is it in? It's in 3 hours?
I don't know, but this is like our pre-performance chat.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
And we have our nice new perfumes on, both of us. So I think we're ready to go.
We have, yeah. Mm-hmm. If it goes well, we can recreate it. We'll do it. We'll record it again. Maybe we'll put it on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
If it goes.
We'll see about that. I won't remember what we've done.
I will.
You think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've practiced
we've changed it every single time.
Well, we've changed it, but the structure has stayed and evolved.
Yeah, sure.
I'm pretty good at remembering stuff like that, I think.
Ooh, did we remember the cuffs?
You have
the cuffs,
the red cuffs.
Yeah.
Everything that was on the bench is in there. Cool. We've got so much equipment. We've got collar. We've got cuffs. We've got thigh restraints. We've got vibrator. We've got paddle, flogger, nipple clamps, but we may not use those.
Probably not. Blanket and snacks for aftercare. Yes. Socks for me. A jumper. Like lots.
You're not going to be wearing your socks during it, are you?
If it depends on how cold.
Are
it
they
is.
Black?
They are black, okay. And they're little fitty
socks.
They're
going to go so well with the lingerie.
They will. Oh, yeah. And I'm wearing lingerie and a little, like, waisty thing. And it'll be fun. Yeah. We'll report back afterwards.
We will. We'll let you know how it goes.
All right.
Hello. We're back. 12 days later. We didn't get round to recording a podcast on the evening after the demo, which is what I had hoped. But it ended up being quite late, so we got home late. So now we're going to talk about how it went. You heard our build up, you heard what we were planning, but did what we wanted to do go to plan? I think it went very well. And the first thing we did actually was we sat around in the intention setting part of the party, because it was part of a party, this performance. And so everyone did intention setting. And as it went round, I can't remember what you said, but I said that I wanted everyone to enjoy the demo. And that was my main reason for going to the party. There was kind of like a warm-up game, and then we went straight into it. So it was quite early on in the evening, so no one was really all that in the mood. But we'd chosen
We were the mood setters.
We were the fluffers for the evening. We had the playlist, so I had the playlist on my phone. We had three tracks, so I kind of knew in my head that each section of the demo that I wanted to go through. Overall, Yeah, I was nervous. I was more nervous in the build up to it. I wasn't nervous doing it, but I was nervous in the build up, kind of overthinking what we should do and how explicit we could get and whether what we were doing was enough. And so I was pleasantly surprised that as we got into it, I don't think I looked at the audience once. I kind of forgot they were there and just tried to focus on connecting with you. Oh, sorry, it's late. It's after work. To focus on connecting with you. But I didn't blank them out completely. Like, I was aware that they were there. And at times I felt a bit, not silly, but I was like, oh, this, you know, I'm doing this in front of people and I kind of want to look at them and check that, like, I want to know how they're feeling and is it hitting home and are they enjoying it? But I resisted. The funniest thing was because MJ basically was standing to the side and the front of the room. So this room is quite small, maybe, I don't know, 5 meters across by 10 meters long or 8 meters long, something like that, a square room. And there was about 15, 20 people kind of sitting in the room and we were in the front third of it. But off to the right-hand side of, we'll call it the stage, it was basically the front of the room, there is a door into the next room. And the door, there's no door, it's just the door frame and a curtain. And MJ, who was the host of the party, was, because there wasn't enough room in the room we were in, they were standing in that second room in the doorway. And whenever I did something, I could see the curtain twitching because she couldn't quite see. So she'd like she'd twitch the curtain out of the way and then move her head round a little bit more. So I was like, whenever I saw that, I was like, oh, I must be doing something good because she wants to get a better look at what's going on. I don't know if you probably didn't notice any of that because you were facing me.
I did. I noticed that she was watching and she was engaged. I tried to keep my eyes closed for the majority of the performance itself. I only opened my eyes just a couple of times, just quick glimpses to like reorientate myself if I had to check that I was stable. But the couple times that I did, yeah, I noticed that, but it was more like out of the periphery, you know. I knew that she was kind of like watching over us, but I thought that was quite nice because everyone else is just sitting in the main stage and she was kind of off to, you know, stage right, as it were.
Yes.
So it kind of felt like we had someone in our corner, even though she wasn't part of it, but it was good. I think it went well. Yeah. I know that you were really, you were getting quite nervous in the lead up and I was trying to avoid any sort of feelings of nerves. I was trying to avoid even saying that I was nervous at all because my anxiety gets so high that I can work myself up. And so I was trying to not even think about the performance and kind of trick myself into wandering in and oops, I just so happened to be sitting on a spanking bench and oops, we just so happened to be in front of 20 people doing this performance and demonstration. So I was really trying to be extremely low key in the lead up. So every time you said you were feeling nervous, I kind of could direct you and be like, there, but then I couldn't go anything further in terms of giving you any sort of reassurance because I was trying to keep myself from even that idea of nervousness.
Yeah, and the nerves for me, it wasn't like, oh, I'm nervous to be standing in front of me people because I'm quite used to that. It was more that I want to do the best that I can and I want to make sure that what I'm doing is valuable to the people. And the worst thing in my mind was that we get up and it just, you know, it just falls flat and it's not that good. And you know, I host a podcast about BDSM and I run a BDSM website, so there is that pressure of, oh, you know, he's meant to be some master dom and therefore it has to be amazing. And in my head I was like, well, this stuff is going to be quite tame. you know, maybe they're thinking we're going to go super extreme and all we're going to be doing is a bit of hair pulling. And so that was the thing that was playing in my mind. And it's similar when I do these podcasts. It's like, well, I'm, you know, I run this website, so people sometimes think I'm meant to be this guru and fountain of all knowledge, and I you know, I don't know everything by any means, and I'm just sharing my experiences. So,
normal people who are having a little bit of fun and playing with power and sharing our experiences, but it doesn't mean that we know everything or know what we're doing most of the time, and we're just learning as we go, which I think is normal.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely imposter syndrome, because you see, you know, when people are invited to speak about stuff or do performances, you expect them to know what they're doing, and sometimes I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, so who am I to be up there on the stage doing a performance? But when I got started and it felt like it was going well, I don't know, I just got the sense in the room that people were enjoying it, then it but I didn't know until the end what people would think about it. And it was only when we got to the end and people started asking questions, I was like, oh, this is great, because the worst thing would be if everyone was silent. The fact that the audience was asking questions,
more engaged.
That made me happy, because then I knew, okay, this, you know, they were interested in it, and we'd done a good job.
What's really funny is that the couple of times that we tried to practice, a couple of times in our hotel room when we were on holiday, and then in the bedroom, we practiced twice in the morning before the actual event. Obviously, we knew a little bit of the space that we had, but not really. We didn't know how much space we'd have to walk around, to move about. We knew that the spanking bench we were using wasn't the one that we had, so it was almost not even worth trying to practice on that. And our practice sessions were mostly failures. It was more kind of like
a failure.
They weren't even dress rehearsals. They were okay, and then we'll do this, and then ooh, that doesn't work, and then we'd get frustrated and just stop the practice and try to not think about it, because otherwise we get upset with each other because we're both trying to make this good. And the last time we ran through it, we got closer to actually doing it, but we also had to hold back. The one time that we could have actually practiced well in the morning before the show, we couldn't, because otherwise I would have been, you know, spanked, and I would have already had that endorphin rush. And obviously trying to keep myself calm and collected and have my body cooperate with me, we couldn't allow my body to already go through that whole sensation, because then I'd be in aftercare mode when we're trying to go to the performance. So we basically, all of the little practice sessions were not very good. And so when we got there, I was like, I just need to focus on Chief. You know, we just have to focus on each other. And I just need to really hone in and listen to my body, listen to his cues and his directions, just follow his rhythm and his instructions, and just really get into our dynamic. So that was my whole, as we were leading up to the point in the evening when we were actually going up to perform, I was just trying to get closer and closer to just making us a little bubble, even though we were in a group. And so when it actually started and the same music turned on that we had been using in our practice sessions, I thought it was actually quite easy for me to just kind of melt into you. And just, I wanted you to be able to use me like, to sculpt me like clay almost, you know, like you're the master puppeteer and I'm the marionette. That you're moving me around and you're using my body. And I think I really got into it. I was able to close my eyes and forget the room and just really focus on whatever sensations or directions you were giving me, which was great.
Yeah, I want to come back to how you felt during it in a bit, but there's two things you said that I found were funny. So one about the practice, when we were practicing, the days before. You're absolutely right. They were all failures. One of them was we were at a hotel at a spa. And so I couldn't spank you how I would spank you because one, I didn't want to leave marks for the spa, but also we didn't want to have you all like bruised before the performance. So that was one thing. And then another time, I was just too in my head trying to think it through, and I couldn't get sensual because I was just thinking about it too much. So you were like, oh, well, I'll just give you a massage. And so that was great. I think we ended up then having sex and sort of abandoning the practice session.
Yeah.
So I like that bit. But yeah, the whole sort of, I think in the end, I think when we got home after that spa, we did practice again. But again, it wasn't a full run through, and there was still a few bits that I wasn't quite sure about. And again, my big fear was that you as the sub can just relax and go with what, yeah. But I'm the one who has to dictate what happens. And I think it's the same with a normal scene, even when you're in the privacy of your own home. It's the dom that has to be the one directing it. So you have different challenges because you have to get over the anxiety and get into the right head submissive headspace. And I had a different challenge, which was, I've got to remember what the hell I was planning to do because I like to plan things out, and I can't just freestyle it because I won't then convey what I'm trying to convey to the audience. So I needed to, it might be partly in my head going through the steps and know the sequence of events I was going to go through, but that's just how my brain operates.
I think it ended up being, I mean, and I think all scenes kind of are this in a way, a bit of a dance. You know, we are two partners who we're moving with each other. We're responding to each other. And in a way, that's very much like a ballroom sort of dance. Not elegant at all, perhaps, but it's the idea that if you are leading the dance, I'm going to follow. And as long as you lead and I follow, we're not going to trip over each other's feet too much. You know, maybe a little bit, but the rhythm becomes its own thing. As long as you just really feel confident within your role, you know, so like, mm-hmm. I trust that you're the dom, that you're doing the leading. And then I know that I need to back off. I need to let you have the say. But in the scene as well, that we did, you were moving me around quite forcefully, not roughly, but you're using my hair and pulling my neck back, and my body was just flowing to whatever way you were kind of pushing me or pulling me, and which I think is very similar to a dance. I like what you say about the me giving you a massage, because yeah, you are getting so tense and so worked up that I almost I don't think I've felt that might have been one of the times that I've felt the most dominant in our dynamic, because I was like, enough of this, you know, I kind of really wanted to get you out of your head. And I knew that I could do that through giving you a massage, but I was trying to make it sensual. And I was hoping that I could turn a terrible practice session into something super sexy and super fun. And so we still had the music. We still had the music going on from the playlist though. So all of the music was really like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. Sultry, dark, ominous kind of like BDSM music. And here I am giving you a full body massage, and then which led to a fun little round of sex. But I didn't feel dominant, but I felt as much dominant as I could probably ever try to be in our dynamic in that moment.
Yeah.
With the music. I think it was kind of giving me a little bit of a power boost.
Yeah. I can see that. And so yeah, if we go over what we did, I mean, I think when we recorded the first half of this podcast, we described what we were going to do. It's been so long, 12 days, I forget what we actually talked about. But it followed the flow of, we actually went out to buy some tights, fishnet tights that I was planning to rip at one point, but we abandoned that. And then I had a whole idea that it was going to be a date. And so you'd start dressed and we'd both be dressed. And then it would be like a performance where I was seducing you, and then and then I'd take off your clothes. But we did one practice of that, but it was just taking too long, and trying to get our trousers off is really complicated. So we're like, screw that. Let's just start you in your lingerie, me and my boxer shorts, and go from there. And so, yeah, the first kind of 5 minutes was, I think you were sitting on you were sitting on the spanking bench, and I was giving you a head massage. And I think that worked really well because it was showing the caring side of it. And hopefully it was helping you relax as well. Mm-hmm. And you had your eyes closed. And then I think I moved you into position. So I stood you up. I made you kneel down. I took off your bra, and then I was playing with your nipples and sort of pulling your hair and moving you about with your hair. I think at one point I sort of then got more forceful and pushed you down into all fours. I can't remember if I gave you the commands
You put the collar on me. We had decided that one of the probably more important, because we had taken the whole idea of playing out a scene of like strangers meet at a bar or something like that, and being seduced by you and then becoming your slave or something. We had to condense that so much that basically we had to think, what is the most important element of that? And it's the putting on the collar, and then at the end taking off the collar to let.
And
them
I didn't
know
even think of that. I think you came up with that, because I'd totally forgotten about that. So that was a key bit.
So at the beginning, you were massaging my hair, kind of stroking my arms from behind. So already we have the power difference going on.
And you were sitting and I was standing.
Exactly. And from behind, you took off my lingerie, played with my nipples quite forcefully. That was the first little bit of pain that they saw. Mm. And then put on the collar. And then that wound things up.
Yeah, because it was the event was, although our performance was central dominance, the event was called House of Pain, and so we had to incorporate some elements of pain in there as well. So that's what the nipple play was, and that was probably the most explicit we got. I thought that was the most explicit we probably should get.
I mean, you were literally rubbing my clit and everything through my panties, so I'd say that's a wee bit more explicit.
True.
than
but you weren't
playing
naked
with bare nipples. Yes, but I still think under waist play is more explicit than over waist play, but that's my own
Oh, anyway, but then I think I got you in an inspection pose, so you were standing with your feet apart, arms behind your head. I can't remember if I put the nipple clamps on or if we abandoned that idea, but we were going to use nipple clamps, but they got in the way too much, so that's why I was just using my fingers. And then, I think you were in the inspection pose, and then I put the collar on. Either you were kneeling and I put the collar on, or you were in inspection pose.
At some point, early on.
Yeah, and then
foreplay.
Yeah, foreplay, foreplay. And then got you onto the spanking bench. And then, started the spanking with my hands, and then I had a flogger. And I had the paddle, so I was building up through that. But also, I was very conscious to check in with you for two reasons. One, because obviously I wanted to check in with you, make sure you were okay and not feeling too nervous, and that the pain was okay. And we were using our standard system, because I couldn't hear you, and normally maybe you'd be quite verbal about if something was too painful or making noises, and I couldn't hear because of the noise. It wasn't loud, but they had the music on and so on. So I did ask you, I was asking you for a number of how sore the spanking was, just to check in, because again, when we're in our bedroom, I can sense your pain threshold quite often, but this was a totally new environment, so maybe because of that adrenaline would have been flowing, or maybe your pain threshold had changed because of the environment, so that's why I was checking in. So that was the first reason, but the second reason is I wanted the audience to see consent was going on, and that was very important. And that's what we got at the end. We got some feedback saying I liked how you were checking in, and I think someone asked about that, and they couldn't hear you calling out the numbers or what I was saying. So we were explaining that I was asking you for a pain threshold from 1 to 10 each time I was doing that. But I'm glad that that came across to the audience, because that was one of my goals, not just spanking you and never checking in.
I love the number system that we use is so simple, and yet I think it's so useful. Just 1 through 10, like, what am I feeling on the pain scale? And then what's fun is because we do use that fairly regularly, mm-hmm. even in normal sex or play. Like, if you are spanking me or just being rough, then sometimes you'll ask me, and I can just do a quick like body scan and say a number. But it's interesting that over the course of the spanking session, my number isn't really going up very much because my pain threshold is rising at the same time. So what's great is that it gives a really good theatrical performance for everyone in the room, because towards the end, you got some really firm spanks in there with the flogger, especially, and with the paddle. Mm-hmm. And they were very, very hard and loud. But I might have reached like an 8, though those same spanks would have been over a 10 at the beginning.
Yes. Yes. And the flog is great for that. It makes a lot of noise, but isn't necessarily that painful. But the paddle is. And so I was using both sides of it. One is padded and one isn't. So I left the paddle with the hard leather till right at the end, and I think I only did a couple. And again, I did that mainly I definitely did that for effect, and because it was House of Pain, you know, it was kind of to end the performance. And between this, it's something I talk about often, it's this intense switching. It's switching between pain and pleasure. So between those two things, I was rubbing you as well. I was sort of massaging your back, checking in with you, rubbing your pussy through your underwear as well a little bit. And then I didn't use the vibrator. We had a Magic Wand vibrator with me. I didn't use it at that point, but I had used it earlier just to, you know, for like 10 seconds, just to show the audience that you could use it.
You lifted me up a couple of times between spanks, and you know, you'd give me a kiss or pull my hair in a way that I quite like. So there were a couple of times I'd be lifted up onto my knees and then kind of thrown back down over the bench, and we did that a couple of times. And then after the big spanking, what's funny is our playlist had the three songs we had chosen, or the four, had finished by that time. So we were already going over our own time estimate for this performance. But then the next song that turned on had some words about like comforting me or something. And that was the moment that we got into the aftercare part of the performance. So it was actually really perfect. I was hearing all these like lovely words about being taken care of, and here you are performing the aftercare. I'm like, it's almost like we added that into the playlist that we had.
Yeah, we need to find out what that was and add it just in case we do it again. But yeah, so the aftercare was, I think I got you, I'll knelt you back down to take off your collar and give you a head massage. I think I sat you back on, I sat you back on the bench, but not kneeling, sitting on it, took off the collar and finished how I'd started with the head massage standing behind you. Now, it was at this point of the recording that my memory card that I record onto got full. And unfortunately, the rest of the episode was lost. Incredibly annoying, and I didn't notice until we had got to the end. So I'm now here again a few days later, and I wanted to tie up, basically summarize what we said, although Moano is not here with me today. So we got to the point where we got to the end of the performance, and we wanted to show aftercare, and we wanted to show what that looks like in a real dom-sub relationship, because often that's the part that is left out of performances. It's left out of porn, and we want the whole point of Kinky Events is to be relatable and authentic and to give people the tools so they can go away and try this in their own dynamics. And aftercare is a very big part of it. It's one of the four steps that I advocate in my book that a dom should go through. And for those who don't know, it's the lead in, the ramp up, release, and the relax. That's kind of my system that I'm always thinking through when I'm going through a BDSM scene. And you can learn more about that in my book, Sensational Scenes, which can be found at kinkyevents.co.uk/book. And just to summarize very quickly, the lead-in is where you're getting someone mentally prepared for a scene. The ramp-up is where you're taking them both mentally and physically through the stages of arousal. The release is the climax of the scene, which can be an orgasm, or it can just be the pinnacle of what we're trying to do. And in this particular scene, the pinnacle was reaching an 8 out of 10 on the pain threshold in the spanking, all right? So again, doesn't necessarily have to be all about arousal. And then the relax is what I call the aftercare. Is part of bringing the person back down to the ground, grounding them, if you like. And even though this was a performance, some aspects of Moano was, you know, part of her was going to go into a submissive mindset, not reach subspace necessarily, but enter that submissive mindset. And so I have to ground her, I have to make sure she's okay and bring her back to the room. And so the use of the blanket was Moano's idea, and we sometimes do this at home because it's, I found a tendency that subs, they tend to get quite cold after a performance, and I suspect that's something to do physiologically with blood going to various areas, you know, going to repair potentially the damage, or, you know, when someone's in an accident as well, you always see them in shock and wrapped in those space blankets to keep them warm. The body is processing a lot of cortisol and adrenaline after scenes, and so that can cause temperature differences. So wrapping them up in a duvet, in a blanket, is a good process, a good aftercare, and that's what we did. I moved Moano onto the floor, and I wrapped her in this blanket, and we also had some snacks on, like little kids packet, like kids, I don't know what they're called, but kids meals, basically, in those squeezy pouches, and that's what she sometimes likes, because it's got all the kind of things she needs to recover, some nice sugary fruit type stuff. So it was a really nice ending. We were sitting there, she was wrapped in the blanket, sitting up, but on her bum, you know, legs crossed, and I was kind of behind her with my legs either side of her, and hugging her. And then we took questions from the audience. And for me, that was the best bit, because that was the first time we got to stop and look around, and it's the first time I got to really look at the audience and look at their faces and see what they were thinking, see what, if I could read any emotions on their face to understand if what we had done had resonated with them. And so the fact that people asked questions, to me, indicates interest. It's something that I'm always worried. If no one wants to ask any questions, the presentation you've done is very boring, and because they're just switched off, they don't care. If they're invested in a topic, normally someone has questions. So the fact that people were asking questions was absolutely lovely. And we got some really nice comments. It was really nice to hear people say different things. The common theme was that they felt like they shouldn't be watching in some ways, because it was an intimate performance, and it was like that we were just doing our own thing, and that they were watching and they shouldn't have been watching. And that, I really liked that, because it made me feel that, because I was worried I was too in my head, and so it made me feel that I'd at least given the impression that, well, that I had been able to get out of my head a little bit, because it had come across that I was really, me and Moano were really kind of in that scene together, which we were, but obviously part of my brain was on the audience. And then it was nice to hear that people were aroused. Of course, my exhibitionist side loved that, loved hearing that, you know, seeing me and Moano together turn them on. That's great. My ego definitely got a boost from that. And then, you know, it's just, I really like helping people to explore kink and explore that side of themselves. So being able to answer questions about the tools we use, the toys we use, able to pass out the flogger and the paddle so people can have a look at it. One question I did get is what I was saying to Moano, because quite often during the spanking, I would lean over to her and I would whisper to her, and obviously the audience couldn't really hear what I was saying, and it was a mixture. I didn't really do much dirty talk. I did a couple of, you know, good girls perhaps in her ear and things like, oh, the audience is really loving it, you're doing great, that kind of stuff, encouragement. Because that's obviously, you want to hear that, it's encouraging, but it's also, it plays into Moano's desire to be shown off by me. So I was kind of trying to emphasize that kink for her. But the other thing that I was doing was check-ins. I was checking in how she was doing. So I was asking her to call out a number between 1 and 10 on the pain scale just to check where she was at, because we were in a totally new environment. I couldn't really hear her as well as I could do in a normal bedroom setting. So I just wanted to make sure that she was okay, and that because if she hadn't been okay, because of the fact we were on stage, not on stage, but we were in front of other people, she may not have said anything. If you're alone with someone, then you might be more likely to speak up and say, hey, you know, I'm not feeling comfortable. But maybe she was not feeling comfortable, but didn't want to speak up because we'd been practicing for this night for a few weeks. And so her speaking up and safe wording out would ruin, in her mind, the performance, right? So I wanted to make sure that wasn't the case, which is why I was checking in with her quite a lot. So we explained that to the audience. I also talked about how I'd been warming up the hands for the spanking, and then the flogger, and then the paddle. And people were sort of hitting themselves with the flogger and paddle to see how hard it was, because obviously the flogger makes a lot of noise, but it's not actually that painful. And as we were doing the aftercare, Moano would sort of say to the audience, yeah, you know, at that point in the performance, it was like a 5 out of 10 on the pain scale, and we got all the way up to an 8 out of 10. And I think that was really nice to hear Moano's perspective, and for the audience to hear Moano's perspective on what had happening, because quite often, you know what the Dom's perspective is, you know, you can see what the Dom is doing, you can see what they're enjoying, but the submissive is the one just lying there, her head was away from the crowd, so you couldn't really see her expressions. And so, and a lot of what the submissive feels is absolutely key, and it's something the Dom needs to know, and other submissives in the room are really interested in knowing as well. So that's why it was important that she shared how she felt at various moments in the scene and what she enjoyed about it, and also to make it clear that this was consensual and that what we were doing she enjoyed. And I've talked about it before, but you know, the spanking side of things and the impact play, Moano likes it more than I do. And I probably wouldn't do it as much if she wasn't into it. And I felt it was really important that the audience knew that, and knew that the spanking was kind of for her, and that we'd been through and agreed what we know each other so well. We know what each other likes in terms of activities, because we've done our sex menus, etc. And if you don't know what a sex menu is, go to kinkyevents.co.uk, search for sex menu. It's a big template. You can download a template there, and it's got 350 sexual activities that you can try out. And the idea is that you and your partner go through it and mark what you like, what they like, and then try and find some common ground. So because we've been playing together for a while, we know each other's kinks and we know what turns each other on. And it was important to me to express to the audience that it's a dance. It's not just the Dom doing what they want to do to the sub. It's about the Dom helping the sub achieve and feel the things that they want to feel. Part of it is that. And that's, to me, that's what sensual dominance, a lot of what sensual dominance is, or being a pleasure Dom. It's about helping the it's about understanding your submissive and what they enjoy, what emotions they want to feel, and activities they like, and then weaving all of that together into a scene, a BDSM scene, that encompasses all of that and gives them those sensations. That's what a pleasure dom for me is all about. And we did an episode, I think the last episode of the podcast was about pleasure dom, so you can go and listen to that. And there's also an article on kinkyevents.co.uk. So it's a shame Mono isn't here to talk you through it as well. But as I said, the memory card got full, so I apologize for that. But I do want to leave with, how does this relate to you? Because it's all very well me talking about what we did, but you might be sitting there thinking, well, you know, how do I translate this? What should I take away from this? So I think the main takeaway that I'd like you to think about is to give sensual dominance a go. You might be a dom listening to this, or you might just be a normal guy who wants to become a dom or wants to incorporate some BDSM into the bedroom. You might be a sub listening to this, and the only thing you've experienced is sadist doms or doms who aren't that interested in your pleasure or the sensual side of things. And some might call this being a soft dom or a romantic dom, and again, it's also related to being a pleasure dom, but for me, sensual dominance is a really lovely thing, and it's very accessible. That's the main thing. It's not the extreme end of BDSM. It's that more. If you think of the whole of dominance, I think sensual dominance is probably, if you took a random person on the street and you wanted to introduce them to BDSM, something like this, being quite sensual with it, of the people who are willing to give it a go, I think there'd be a much higher percentage than someone who wanted to be chained up in a dungeon and whipped, right? So what can you do? Well, I'll give you some very basic examples. Light hair pulling. It's great. I would say that can be very sensual, especially if you're facing the person. You're kissing them and you run your hand up the back of the head to the base of the neck. Make sure you get really close to the scalp when you're doing hair pulling. You shouldn't be pulling on the, let's say they've got the long hair and it's 2 foot long. You don't pull on the last few inches of their hair. What you do is you get your hair as close to the scalp as possible. You try and get as much hair as you can. And the reason for that is the more hair strands that you can grab, the more the force that you're going to be putting through it when you pull is distributed amongst all of those hair strands and all of those follicles. So it spreads the pressure and the pulling across more of the scalp. It's the equivalent of, you know, if you try it right now, if you reach up and grab a clump of your hair and pull it, and then you try and find one individual strand and you pull it with the same force, the latter is far more painful. So light hair pulling is great. More forceful kissing. So when you're kissing someone, kissing can be so varied, but you might want to try a more aggressive form of kissing. And often this is what people, when people say someone's a bad kisser, it's because they're doing this more forceful kissing where they're jamming their tongue down your throat. And you don't want to be doing that. But in certain situations, especially if you're in a DS relationship and you get the moment right, actually being quite forceful with your kiss and kind of forcing your tongue down their throat can be almost a bit of consensual non-consent going on there. And that can be very arousing and quite sensual, especially if you intertwine it with moments of lightness. Again, my book Sensational Scenes is all about this. It's all about the juxtaposition of different types of sensation you can give someone. And I call it intent switching, where you go from one intent, which is to give them pleasure, to another intent, which is to give them pain. And you're constantly switching between those. So maybe I can do a really light kiss and, you know, it's very sensual and we do a minute of that. And then slowly I'm working my hand up to the back of their head. I give their head a nice pull with their hair, and then I get more forceful just for maybe 5 seconds, 10 seconds with my tongue deep down their throat, and then I release their hair And I slowly kind of bring my hand back down the side of their neck, down their body, and I resume the sort of slow, really sensual kissing just on the lips. That is an intense switch. It's two intense switches. It's going from light to stronger, but still using the kind of actions that people would consider sensual in a traditional relationship, kissing, and then going back to the light again. So this is it. Try these different things with more the general activities that you would do with your partner anyway. Try doing them in a more dominant way. The other one is firm hugs and wraps. Very easy to do. So perhaps your partner is, I don't know, doing the dishes or just going about an everyday task at their computer working, and you come up behind them and you wrap your hands around them in such a way that it's showing your this is more of a physical one, so it's probably more relevant if the man is a dom and the woman is a sub, but it can work the other way around. You wrap your hands around them, you're kind of pinning their arms to their sides, and you're giving them a big hug, but at the same time, you're subconsciously signaling, hey, you know, I'm quite strong. They can feel your muscles wrapped around them, and they know that if it came to it, you could forcibly hold them there, and they wouldn't be able to get away. So you're not actually doing that. You're not actually restricting them and holding them as tight as you can, but you're wrapping your hands around them and you're hugging them, but you're also going that little bit further where you're squeezing them a little bit and you're indicating, hey, look, I could restrain you if I wanted to. And that can be, as long as, you know, again, this is all consensual. That could be taken very, very badly. And you could do this in a way that if your partner is already emotionally unstable and wary of you, if you do this, of course, that's going to just make them super anxious. So all of these techniques I'm saying are assuming you're in a very good, healthy relationship already and you trust your partner and you love your partner, you get on well with them. So you've got to start from that. So yeah, firm hugs, wraps, just jokingly kind of coming up behind them, grabbing them, maybe lifting them off the floor a little bit just to show your strength, show your power, show that you could overpower them if you wanted to. And that's something you can do anyway. You can do that in public. You can do it outside. You can do it when they're doing everyday activities. You could do it as you're spooning in bed, or you could even do it during sex. You could do it as part of the kissing. So you know, you come up behind them, you wrap them up tightly, and then you kind of push your body and them into a wall or backwards into a wall. So you're pinning them against the wall. You're holding their wrists maybe with one hand, the other hand wrapped around them tightly. So those kind of things you wouldn't normally necessarily associate with traditional BDSM, but they're more of the sensual dominance side of things and very accessible, very easy to do. And it's all about the energy that you are bringing as a dom to that scene. And it's these little things that I don't think doms think about enough. It's these little moments that are really powerful, even though they seem so insignificant. And that was one of the worries that I had going into this performance, was that those little things wouldn't come across, they wouldn't translate to an audience, because a lot of it is psychological, a lot of it is going on in the mind. If I'm giving someone a hug, they can't really see how much pressure I'm putting on that person. They can't see what reaction that is having in the mind of the person, because they don't know the history, they don't know the context, they don't know how often I hug that person, etc., etc. But luckily it did. So that was, we've got four there. We've got light hair pulling, intense switching, bit of forceful kissing, firm hugs and wraps. Two more. Light spanking is an obvious one. If you haven't tried that, it's very accessible. Again, you can use your hand to give them a light spank. And the final one is motion. The art of moving someone from place to place, or even swaying with them, but you are in control of it. You're holding them and you're the one dictating where they go. And this can be leading them around with a collar, if you've got a collar with a lead. So it can be very obvious and very animalistic like that. And they could be walking, they could be on all fours. And it can be much more subtle, where, again, let's go back to the situation where you have wrapped, you've come up behind them and you've wrapped them and you've pinned their arms. Now you can slowly sway, maybe while kissing their neck, but that motion you are in control of, and they can't, as the sub, they kind of have to go with it because their arms are pinned. They can't quite see what you're doing and you're there. Or it can be somewhere in the middle. Say, for example, you've grabbed their hair, you're pulling their hair. Maybe you're standing in front of them, you've got your hand on the hair, you can pull down and expose their neck to give them, you know, some kisses. So you've got the juxtaposition of the slight pain of the hair pulling and the power of pulling their neck and exposing their neck, and you've got the light sensual kisses on the neck. And again, that's an example of two contrasting feelings going on at the same time. It's the, on the one hand, hey, I can do whatever I want to you and I'm in charge and you can feel my power, versus I can still be really soft with you and I do love you and I want to be tender with you. And together, ooh, you know, that is where the magic happens. So I think that covers the performance, and hopefully that's given you an idea of what sensual dominance means to me and Wano. And I'd love you to go away and try out some of those tips and techniques. Try, if you're the kind of dom who just gets the paddle out straight away and just gives pain, just think how you could lead up to that scene and use some of these sensual dominance techniques to make the time when you get to the hard spanking more memorable, to have put someone more into a submissive state using those sensual dominance techniques, so that when they get to the spanking, they enjoy it more. And it's more of a complete experience. Likewise, if you're maybe a couple listening to this and you've never even tried BDSM and you've got nowhere, and you don't know if you're going to like it, then the sensual dominance is where to start. Because, you know, give those things a go and discuss it with your partner. Does the idea of having your hair pulled a little bit turn you on? Do you like it when they come up behind you and give you a nice hug and you kind of feel a little bit like you can't get away? If you do, then tell them and incorporate that into your play. So there we are. That's it. If you're not on the mailing list already, please go to kinkyevents.co.uk and sign up. There's a free 9-step guide that you get when you sign up. I also send you lots of tips. I send you alerts when new podcasts go out. If you are listening to this on Spotify, then please do follow us on Spotify as well. You'll get a notification when the new episodes come out. There's also hundreds of articles on kinkyevents.co.uk. Go to the guides section. You can find lots of different information on there. And we've also got the products. So if you are submissive and you want to learn more about this kind of stuff, The Art of Submission is the product for you. It's an online digital course where we talk about all of these kind of things: how to find a dom, how to discover your submissive style, goes through all the basic terminology, gives you ideas on how to create a scene, some toys you can use. It covers so much. I think it really is one of the most comprehensive courses on being submissive. But of course, I'm biased because I wrote it, but me and Moano co-wrote it. And I really, really do believe it gives people a really great start in all areas of being a submissive, because it's not, often being a submissive is not what you expect it to be. So people are really loving that course. And then if you're a dom, or even if you're a sub, but you're more interested in the psychology of being a dom and playing together with your dom, then go and get them a copy of Sensational Scenes. You can find that at kinkyevents.co.uk/ebook. In there, we talk about more of this kind of psychological aspect of dominance and how to put someone into subspace and how to create mind-blowing BDSM scenes for you both. So there it is. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Kinky Events. Thanks again to Mistress Jane, who is the one who invited us along to her event, Divine Darkness event, to give this performance. We really appreciate you giving us that chance to show people what we can do. And I hope everyone learns a lot. If you want to learn more about Mistress Jane, then you can find her online. So until next time, stay kinky.
You're listening to Chief from kinkyevents.co.uk. Helping you create the dom-sub dynamic you've always fantasized about.